In Mark chapter 16 this morning, in the first 14 verses of chapter 16, I want to talk about worry, fear, and unbelief. Sounds like kind of a negative message, doesn't it? Well, but you know, more importantly than all of that, I want to talk about the remedy of all those things. Worry, fear, and unbelief. Where Brother David read in Luke 24, it's interesting to note that that's the very end of that gospel, and how that the Lord, in the very end of it, as he's wrapping up that book and all of the beautiful pictures of himself in that book and in Matthew and in Mark, when he shows his power to save and his mercy to save in these miracles that he performed in his doctrinal teaching, he sets forth himself and his grace and how that he has mercy on sinners, and how he talked to his disciples about how he had to suffer and be abused and die and rise again the third day. And then we see that happen. And he ends that book by making sure, the book of Luke, by making sure that his disciples knew and remembered that this whole book is about him. You remember that? How he read there where he opened all and showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, here in the book of Mark, chapter 16, we have the end of this gospel. And it's interesting what our Lord brings to light here in these last words of this gospel of Mark. Because you'll see the same thing really in the book of Matthew at the end of it. And also in the book of John, not at the end of the book, but in his last days, when he spent his last moments with his disciples, we'll see a parallel in what was brought to light there. Now, this passage of Scripture is a clinic on the weakness and limitations of our flesh. And I want you to notice that as we read. And when I say our flesh, I mean us. Our flesh is not something that's invading us, some enemy. It's what we are. It's what we are, our flesh. We're flesh. We're also spirit, thank God. But we're flesh. It's us. And when I say weaknesses and limitations, I mean sin. Let's just call it what it is. It's sin. But let's see this now. And more importantly, as I said, let's see the remedy for these things. As we read this, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They worrying about something before they ever got there. How are we going to get this done? How are we going to do what we're going to do? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And that was remarkable because it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. You remember the title of the message? Worry. They worried about how are we going to do it? How are we going to? And then they were scared. And he said to them, "Don't be affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." Now notice, they were afraid. It sounds like to me in the context here, they were scared when they saw that angel. But how did he calm them down? By saying, I'm not your enemy. I'm not here to hurt you. No, he didn't say that. How did he calm their fear? You seeking Jesus Christ. He's risen. There's the remedy of all of it right there. The crucified, risen Redeemer. Victorious Redeemer of sinners. There he is. All right, now, they saw that young man clothed in a long white garment. They were afraid. And he said, "Jesus of Nazareth is risen, which was crucified." Christ crucified and risen. "He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Don't just hang around here. Look at it. See. and be comforted, but then go do something. Tell his disciples and Peter that he go up before you. Peter, we've seen before, has been mentioned by name here because Peter was a mess right now. He needed particular attention from our Savior. And our Savior is always gracious to give that. He goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall you see him as he said unto you. Remember, he told you. Shouldn't be shocked about all that. He told you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they didn't believe her. What's the title of our message? Worry, fear, and unbelief. What's the answer to all of that? What's the remedy to all of our problems, all of our sin? The crucified, risen Son of God. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked. My brother just read about that, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. As I said, it's just a clinic, isn't it? On ourselves, on what we are, on our weaknesses. But then, more than that, just like Luke does, just like all of this book does, it points us in our fear and in our weakness and worry and inability and in our unbelief, it points us to the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer. We weak, but He's not. We're afraid, but we've got nothing to fear now. Our sins are gone. We have no ability to do what needs to be done. That's all right. And the sooner we find that out, the better. He's done it all. He finished it. We have no faith. We're sinful, unbelieving wretches. Even in the face of plain light, indisputable light. But faith is His to give. Thank God for Him. And this is there's something we're exhorted to here in this passage that's very important. I want us to see it. And I want us to see a parallel of it in the final words that our Lord spoke with His disciples in the book of John, chapters 13 and 14. But I want you to remember these three things, as we do. See this parallel, and then I want you to remember the one thing. The three things, and then the one thing. The parallel is between the end of this book, the book of Mark, as we've studied all through it. Here's the last chapter, the last part. And then, the way that our Lord ended His ministry on this earth, what does He teach us concerning at the wrap of these most important gospel books, and what did He say to His disciples in the closing moments of His time with them upon this earth? The same three issues are dealt with, and the same one issue is set forth. Three in one. Alright, we see in this passage so clearly believers worrying about how they're going to do something. How will we be strong enough? Verse 3. This stone is great and we're just not strong enough to do it. And then we see them afraid in verse 5. And then we see their unbelief in verses 11 and 13 and 14. Do you remember, John, in chapters 13 and 14, what our Lord spoke to His disciples about? I don't think we'll turn there this morning and read that passage. But you'll remember most of it, I think, and I want you to look at it if you don't. If you're not sure, go and look at it. But in chapter 13, you remember at the end of the chapter, it was the Apostle Peter that bragged that he would never deny the Lord. The Lord told him, specifically, Peter, you're going to deny me. And he still insisted that he would not, that he would follow him to the death. But then the Lord, in the beginning of chapter 14, he said, Peter, you're not going to be able to do what you claim to be able to do. You're not going to be able to follow me to the death. You're not going to be able to get through this without denying me. But he said, don't be troubled about that, because I'm going to do what I came to do. You remember that? I'm going to make good on my promises. You're promising me something now. You're not going to be able to make good on it. You're not going to be able to get it done. But I have made some promises to you, and I'm willing and I'm able, and I'm going to get them done. I'm going to make good on them. So don't you be troubled about your inability. Let not your heart be troubled. And in verse 27, he said that in verse 1, and then in verse 27, he was speaking to all of his disciples, and he said it this way. He added a phrase. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's the other thing that we saw at the end of Mark 16. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've got to leave you now bodily, but don't be afraid. So he dealt with their fear in these final moments of his time with them bodily. And then what were the next words out of his mouth in John 14:1? You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe. You see the three things? Believe. He spoke to them all throughout the first half of chapter 14 about faith in himself. So the Lord summarizes, if you will, the whole gospel message of that book with a simple reminder of our problems, what we are, our sin, and of the one solution to all of our problems. Number one, you are weak and sinful and you can't do what needs to be done. You see the difference now. Peter boasted of being able to do. The women, they knew right up front that they couldn't do what needed to be done. But you see how it's the same issue. It's about your ability. What can you do? And what can you not do? And so Peter, the Lord said, you cannot help but deny me. Because of what you're made of. As determined as you may be in your mind. And he was. And I believe he was sincere in that, don't you? He was sincere in it. He didn't want to deny his Lord. And he thought he'd be able to hold up. But as determined as you may be in your mind and heart, you cannot not sin. Do you know that about yourself? You can't help but sin. You just ain't cut out for it, for anything else. You're not going to measure up. You're not going to be able to roll the stone. That's the picture. But the spiritual reality of it is we can't do anything that needs to be done. Did he say, without me you can do nothing? He wasn't exaggerating, was he? Has that been your experience? So you see that here. You can brag about your decisions as religious people do, and your religion itself, all of your religion. And you're turning over a new leaf. I'm not what I used to be and all that. But in the end, you are in yourself an utter failure. And you're always going to be. You need a Savior that's not a failure. We talk a big game, but we come up short. All have sinned and come short. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's all we do. We do not have the strength of conviction that we think we do. Our will is not what we think it is. But bless God, though, don't be troubled about that. Don't be troubled about that. As long as you're worried about measuring up and how you're going to measure up, that's that heavy burden that the Lord said, lay it down and come to me. As long as you're worried about measuring up to God's standard, as long as you're worried about what you need to do and what you don't need to do, it's going to be such a burden upon you. You're never going to be able to arrive. You can't give up enough things and you can't start doing enough things to please God. So just quit it and come to Christ. That's what he said. Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Come and I'll give you rest. Rest in Him. You can't get it done, but I can and I will and I did. Come to me. Everything. Don't fret about your inability to do anything about your sin. That's relying upon yourself. Yes, our sins are we should be sorrowful over our sins, and we should hate ourselves as Job did. We are hateful things by nature. But don't fret over your inability to do anything about it, because that's just dependent upon yourself. Forget about whether you can roll the stone or whether you can't roll the stone. You go into the grave of the Son of God. What are you worried about rolling the stone away? Do you know whose grave that is? Do you think that stone's going to be a problem? Christ, in effect, said to Peter what he said in the book of Exodus when he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." Don't you be troubled, Peter. You just stay right there. I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare. And I'm going to come again. Just watch me save you. That's the gospel message. Don't be troubled about it. Don't worry. Don't fret about whether you can do it or not. Am I strong enough? Am I spiritual enough? You're not. Your sin and inability is one of the three things, but Christ is the one thing needful. And even when your wretchedness is being considered, the message is this: be not troubled. I go. And He did go. And He did everything necessary to save you. He's been saving you since before you were born. If you know Him, and He's still saving you today, and He's going to save you from now on. And you're not ever going to have a hand in it. Is that all right with you? We see that same issue dealt with in these women who went to the tomb of our Lord. They weren't bragging like Peter was about being able to move. Oh, we'll move that stone. Don't worry. No, they weren't like that. But the same issue's on the table here, isn't it? Our ability to do what needs to be done, or the pathetic lack thereof. That stone being rolled away symbolizes everything. An unrolled stone means a Savior in the grave, which is no Savior at all. What can we do about it? The stone's too big for me. How about you? Let not your heart be troubled. You're going to the tomb of Jesus Christ, the one who said, "I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again." What's that stone? Why are you worried about that stone? He said that after 3 days He would not be there. Just trust Him and quit worrying about what you can do and what you can't do. Is there a lesson in that for us? Let's quit bragging on ourselves too, like Peter did. Trusting ourselves and worrying about our own inability like they did. Let's quit both. I can do all things through Christ. I know that. Which strengtheneth me. He strengthens me. Bless God, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ did what we couldn't do. He died for the ungodly. We can't measure up to God's standard, but Christ did. He lived as my representative. Perfect, holy, spotless. And I can't pay for my sin, but Christ could, and He did. He paid the ransom for my soul, and He did it with His soul. He made His soul an offering for my sin. And I'm redeemed. I can do nothing. But the good news is this: when Christ saves you, He saves people that can do nothing. He does it all. Fear is one of the three. Are you afraid of anything? We don't even realize how fear affects us in our everyday lives. I wonder what all fear keeps us from doing for our Master. You ever wondered about that? What does it keep us from doing? That if we just were confident in trusting Him, we'd be able to do. Well, if fear limits what you do for Him, at least let us not allow fear to keep us from enjoying what He did for us. Don't let fear do that. Do you fear death? Do you fear death? Maybe that's what these ladies were afraid of. Ooh, boy, that looks like somebody that could do us harm. Maybe he'll kill us. Can you fear death at the very tomb of the risen Redeemer who conquered death? Can we do that? Oh yeah, we can. And we will without His grace. Oh, but let us not. May God give us grace. Can you not say with the apostle, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Surely at His grave we can say that. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If death had no hold on my Savior, then it has no hold on me. He's my champion. He's the firstborn of the dead. And there's many brethren that will rise because He did. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. Oh, these ladies, how do you stand in the very tomb of the Redeemer, the empty tomb of the Redeemer of sinners, and tremble? What is there to be afraid of at all if our champion is risen? You see the messenger of God and you're afraid? Even if he were a fallen angel from hell come specifically to do you harm, you'd have no reason to fear. Because he can't hurt you. Not if Christ is risen. Not if your Redeemer is the conquering Redeemer of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Savior has died, as they said, He which was crucified, He's not here, He's risen. If He died and rose for you, you wouldn't have to fear, even if that was an angel from hell. But it's not. It's an angel from God sent to give you the good news and to comfort you. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything? We have to leave time to consider the worst of the three, the one of the three which is the cause of them all. You see, it's unbelief that makes you either think too much of yourself in the matter of salvation, in the matter of your will and ability. Unbelief will make you think too much of yourself. Not believing God's Word now will make you think, well, it's just up to me. God's done all He can do, and now it's up to my will. Oh, that's unbelief, because the Word of God clearly says that salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So you just don't believe God if you believe that. It's just that simple. It's unbelief that causes us to boast, as Peter does, of our ability and will, or even to consider our own strength in the matter at all. It's unbelief that would cause us to despair of being able to do anything. Because if you despair of it, that means you're depending upon your ability. I acknowledge that I'm incapable of doing anything to save myself, but I don't worry about it because I have a Savior that's able to save me to the uttermost. If I do worry about my ability in the matter, or inability, it's unbelief. And are you afraid? You know what that is? Unbelief. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Fear not." You've got no reason to fear. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He did. He went to the cross. And He said, if I go, I'm coming back for you. And He is. We've got no reason to fear. Why are you afraid of anything or anybody? Now that you've heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you've heard this gospel and you're scared of anything or anybody, it's unbelief. It just is. How can you hear from one who has seen Him risen and alive? That's who God sends now. You can't tell about somebody you haven't seen and don't know. You can't talk about a salvation you haven't experienced. But think about Thomas. Someone who had seen him risen and alive, several of them, said to Thomas, "We've seen him. He's alive. He did what he said he'd do. He rose again the third day. And we spoke with him." And Thomas said, "No, nonetheless, I will not believe. I will not believe." Can you do that? After hearing the gospel, the good news that Christ, who was crucified, is risen from the dead, and we've spoken with him. I will not believe. Maybe you haven't said the words, but your heart has spoken them. But in all of these things, the one thing needful is always the same. In our unbelief, he accommodates us as he did Thomas. He reveals himself to us, the crucified, risen Savior. He bids us to touch and feel with a hand of faith his very wounds that he suffered in our place. And he makes the powerful command, the irresistible command to our very hearts, be not faithless, but believing. He's the answer to unbelief, just like every other problem that we have. Oh Lord, even we who believe, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Help us to see and to recognize all of our problems as you clearly reveal them in your word. We're always looking to ourselves, aren't we? Is that what we're doing? That's what these ladies did on the way to the tomb. They were thinking, wait a minute, there's a big stone over there. We're not very strong. Are you guilty of that ever? Looking to yourself to accomplish what's necessary in spiritual things in the matter of your salvation with regard to Christ and Him crucified and risen? We're guilty of that, aren't we? Help us to see that we are and that we what we are. But help us, Lord, instead to look to You and trust You. And stop spending all of our time thinking about how we're going to do. How are we going to do what He's already done for us? You ever do that? How am I going to live right? He already did that for you. Didn't He? How am I going to measure up? How am I going to be good enough? He already did that for you. How can I ever pay for my sin? Isn't that what they said when Peter preached and they said, what are we going to do? He said, you killed the Prince of Life. They said, how are we going to make up for that? He already did that for you. The stone's already rolled away. He's already risen. Don't be troubled about that. Help us to see You in this as the one thing needful and rest in Your finished work. May God help us. He accomplished salvation for us. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. And Lord, we're fearful and wretched creatures. We are. Because we forget. We forget, don't we? And because, to our great shame, we just flat out don't believe You. We just don't. If we did, we just simply wouldn't act the way we do. We wouldn't worry like we do. And we wouldn't be so proud like we are all the time. We wouldn't boast. We wouldn't fret. We wouldn't fear. And we wouldn't doubt if we believed on Him. We do believe, but Lord, help us. Help us. And let's not miss the exhortation of Scripture here. I want you to notice what's not here. Nowhere in any of this clear revelation of our sin do we see the Lord exhorting us to strive to be better, to do anything to overcome or make up for our shortcomings. In it all, the message is simply, trust Me. What did He say to them after He pointed out those things to them? Peter, your inability is great. You don't know it yet. that you cannot do what needs to be done, and you're all afraid. Don't be afraid. And unbelief, you believe in God, believe in me, trust me. And then what was the answer to all that? What was his exhortation to them? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He didn't say turn over a new leaf. We are exhorted in the Scripture now to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. But that's not salvation. That's not salvation. I don't rest in my ability to do that. All your eggs now are going to have to be in one basket. All of them. The exhortation here is trust me, believe me, look to me. In Luke 24 there, what was it? Christ is all in the Word of God. What is it here? Christ is all when it comes to our shortcomings, our needs, our sin. And here is our prayer for us this morning. Lord, help our unbelief. May we see you risen as Thomas, with the nail holes still in your hands and feet and the spear wound in your side. Give us a glimpse of you as you did him. And when we see you as you are, crucified and risen, may we know this: it is finished. Give us rest in you. Don't let our hearts be troubled. You calm our hearts, Lord, and we won't be troubled. I pray for that. In all of our wretchedness, cause us to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. We pray that in his holy name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together now and be dismissed.